Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's good to be back, guys, and doesn't it just give you a bit of a shiver up the spine when you hear that song, because you know what time it is. It's very close to the start of the season, and the Supercoach Report is back for another week, and going to be a little bit different this time around, because I'm solo hosting, and that's cool. So I'm just going to run through some of the trial news, and then what we're going to do is call through to a couple of guys that you know very well in Wilfred and also Joe. They're going to cover their beloved sides in the Broncos and the Bulldogs, and we'll preview both of those. Now, before we get on to that, just have to give the Mega Guide a shout out again. So version 2 was just released last week, and it's got over a dozen different players that have been updated, and we will be updating again next week, because as we're going to talk through with the trials, there has been a ton of news coming out and still some roster movements as well, which we need to, I guess, manage and work around. So the final version will be out next week, and then it's a week before the start of the season. So any news after that, and that is it. So Mega Guide's available still for $12.99, covers every single player, every single club. It's everything that you possibly need to get your side ready to go for the 2019 Supercoach season. Don't forget the 10% of all proceeds this year are going towards the Townsville flood appeal, and we're quite proud of that. I think we've raised over $600 at the moment. So thank you everyone who's purchased. So what we'll do now is we'll just jump straight into some trial news, and as I said, it's just going to be me working through a few of the big items. And geez, injuries, boy oh boy, what a disaster. I can't remember the last time that we lost not one but three legitimate Supercoach guns in a trial weekend. So TPJ, Turbo and Kakao are all out injured. So it seems like that Tom Trbojevic is set to miss up to 6 weeks with a nasty hamstring. That's just been reported today, which is huge news. But Kakao and TPJ are still waiting scans. However, the initial diagnosis floating around of those two is kind of a 2 to 4 week, but we won't know until tomorrow what is lining up. I mean, Trbojevic wasn't in my side, but you know, he's going to find his way out of a lot of sides now, obviously, and be an upgrade target later on in the season. Kakao was somebody that I'd penciled in as being potentially a starter, and now, you know, that doesn't look good. I think Cleary's come out today and said he's had an amazing preseason. So that is really a shame. And then TPJ's injury is really, really concerning, given, you know, he's had problematic hamstrings in previously. And, you know, I think NRL Physio was saying that they were doing some specific work to try and strengthen those. And it's just really a shame that, you know, as he said, TPJ, that he heard a pop and it went. So that is not good news at all, and he's hard to fit into your side at the moment. So elsewhere, the Knights showcase new feature halves, obviously with Caelan Ponga shifting in to join Mitchell Pearce, and Ponga seemingly moved on from a disappointing All-Stars performance. And for us super coaches, it is time to get excited once again about the combination of Ponga and Lachlan Fitzgibbon. Our reports are that they dominated down Fitzy's edge late yesterday, and Fitzy did score a try, which he so often does in many games. So they've both made their way into my Supercoach side at the moment. And, you know, Ponga particularly with Trbojevic now out injured as a, you know, is a pretty handy pick. Elsewhere, we've got Jake Clifford, who put in a blinder for the Cowboys against the Titans with a hat-trick. So he could really go down to the wire there as to who will partner Michael Morgan in the halves after TMM was very much the early favourite. at the Sharks, they very much put out a junior development side, and Bronson Zeri, who is definitely a hype player in lots of sides, very cheap at the moment. He did score a fantastic 70-meter plus try, and you know, it's performances like that that could propel him into that round one side, and he'll be locked into many Supercoach starting squads if that was to happen. So that's all good news there. The Broncos face the Seagulls, and geez, he might be 17, but Tom Dearden did not look out of place last night. He was superb. Probably begs the question as to whether he'll feature this year or whether they'll just keep developing in the Q Cup. But one of the reports today did mention Ponga along the lines of Dearden. So that's something super excited for the Broncos to look forward to. Fellow youngster Thomas Flegler also impressed with Payne Haas obviously missing the first 4 weeks of the season. There's going to be an opening there for a young prop forward to come into the side. For the Dragons, Corbin Sims and Paul Vaughan were both reportedly massive, which is interesting. Maybe not for Sims, but Vaughan has been a little bit of a lost commodity in the past 12 months after a huge 2017 season, kind of really dropped away. So he's a guy that I'm definitely looking at, particularly with TPJ not really being someone you can probably start from round one. So with them aside, we might have unearthed another centre wing cheapie at the Dragons as well, with Mikale Ravoala impressing with a try, and he starts at basement price. So if he can nab a starting spot on the wing for the Dragons, then he'll be another player that it will feature in a lot of Supercoach teams. And lastly, that you got Sione Katoa put in a very strong performance for the Panthers and may have very well won himself a starting hooker role ahead of Wade Egan. So that's some of the news. We've got JT that's going to write a trial report or a wrap tomorrow, and I didn't want to steal all of his thunder, but just thought that the major headlines, will start the podcast with that before we get into the meat of the show. And speaking of that, how about we just start jumping in, and I'm going to call Wilfred, and we're going to talk all about the Broncos, and then after that, I'll be calling Joe. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. You got 40 minutes ahead where it's just the three of us talking about the Bulldogs and the Broncos. Cheers, guys. Well, first time on the podcast this year. Well, first time joining me in about 12 months. Wilfred, how are you? You must be excited by what the Broncos did last night.
Yeah. How you going? I'm feeling pretty good about this season, so it's good signs for the Broncos, and I'm glad you got me on to have a chat about it.
Excellent. Now, we don't have much time, do we? We're going to burn through this in 10 to 15 minutes. Let's talk all things Brisbane Broncos and Supercoach for 2019. Preview it, mate. What's been happening this off-season?
It's been a pretty busy one for the Broncos. I'm sure plenty of people have heard and read plenty about it, but I'll summarise. Obviously, Wayne Bennett out, Anthony Seibold in a fairly messy way. We've had a couple of retirees in terms of, the likes of Sam Thaide. We've got Josh Maguire heading up to the Cowboys, got Corbin Sims off to the Dragons, a couple of other minor swaps like that. Obviously, there's been a couple of additions in the likes of, you've got, Sean Fensham, good old classic gun, but who's not been a gun for a bit, unfortunately. We've also had Sean O'Sullivan potentially playing halfback in the mix there as well. But yeah, a lot of the Broncos have just been bringing more and more youngsters through. So no doubt with the trials, plenty of people have been hearing about Thomas Dearden. He's only 17, but he's absolutely been killing it in the lower grades and looking really good in the trials as well. As well as, the likes of Patrick Carrigan, Tom Flegler, and a couple of these other guys who are, no doubt some of you guys saw them in action in the trials last night. So lots have been happening, but it's all about what's Supercoach relevant, isn't it?
It is. And what about the draw? Is it a favourable one early, or is it similar to last year where it's quite difficult?
I think the fact that the Broncos, being a good primetime team, they tend to get the tough matchups. So looking at the starting draw, it's not the worst. They obviously get a couple of games at Suncorp, but, they start off with a tough road trip off to Melbourne to play the Storm. They play at home against the Cowboys and then the Dragons as well. But both those teams are either seen as like good early season teams or, strong improvers for this year. Then they've got to have a trip down to play the Roosters before they come back to Suncorp for the Tigers. So it's not the worst. They always play better at Suncorp, especially for Supercoach purposes. But you know, overall across the year, they've got, you know, they always have two games against Melbourne, pretty much always have two games against the Rabbitohs, two games against the Roosters. So a lot of the better teams, they have to play twice. So, you know, that's the, unfortunately, the downside of having all the primetime games.
Yes, very true. And it does seem like they do get stuck with maybe more than their fair share of difficult games, but all the better when you're living up here and you get to go and watch the Broncos play the better sides. Okay, so we've got 10 minutes now, mate. Let's smash through it. Guns, sleepers, bust, and cheapies. Let's start at guns. I mean, you and I were talking just before this. Anthony Milford is probably the only one that we can really call an out-and-out gun now, particularly with what's happened with Pangai last night, which we'll get to very shortly. There's not really anyone else that stands out as a gun at the moment, based on what they've done before or potential, I would say. There's just a lot of sleepers and a lot of what-ifs sitting there at Broncos. So Anthony Milford, I know that you were quite big on him last year. I wasn't interested at all and obviously did have a pretty bad year. If you look at his average, 54, that's not really what you want. But can he go any? Where can he go? Can he go up to that 65, do you think, or are his best Supercoach days behind him?
No, I definitely think he's capable of turning it around. For, I guess, all the drama about how bad Milford's year was, I mean, like you said, he still averaged 54, which is about fifth or sixth of all the 5/8 options in Supercoach. So, you know, putting it in context, it's really not that bad. And for that to be his worst year ever, I think the only way is back up, especially with the whole try contribution stat that he's got available now. I think the Daily Telegraph confirmed that if he had, you know, those points applied to him last year, his average would have been, well, 2 or 3 points better. He scored an additional 56 points across the season, which, I mean, that's putting him at the 56, 57 mark without lifting a finger. So, you know, he finished the end of the year quite well, 10-round average, I think, of about 60, 65 or thereabouts. So certainly a really bad start to the year, a strong finish, and I'm backing him to keep it going. It's just a matter of his health at the moment. Obviously, he's coming back from a second shoulder reconstruction. All signs seem really positive for the shoulder, but obviously it does restrict his ability to get contact in. Plus, he's had a bit of a minor hamstring or like a strain of some sort in the preseason, which has kept keeping him out of some trials. So there's a risk there that he might be underdone. So I think he's going to go really well. I just don't know if it's going to go strongly out the blocks just because of the injury scares right in the preseason at the end there.
Yeah, and we saw last year that he wasn't really able to capitalise as much as in the past playing at Suncorp. So from memory, and I'm sure that you'll say whether I'm correct or not, but he had an average of around about 90 points per game when playing at Suncorp, and he just wasn't able to deliver on that last year. So certainly you would think that with Seibold coming in as coach and what he did, particularly with Cody Walker last year, and you know, really got the best out of him, that you know, hopefully he is a bonus for Milford.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw his left side attack with the Rabbitohs just absolutely kill it. Robert Jennings became Supercoach relevant because he scored, you know, I think like 18 to 20 tries, something like that. So something very impressive there. The question is, I guess, is whether Seibold, you know, uses the same attacking structure or if he designs one that's better suited for the Broncos. You know, they've obviously got some pretty good weapons on the right-hand side as well with the likes of James Roberts. And obviously Jermaine Asako as well. So I think either way Milford's going to be involved regardless.
Yep.
So I definitely feel strongly that he's going to do well. It's just a question of whether it's from round one.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the sleepers. So I think there's three guys here we can probably bundle up together. Pangai, Joe O, and David Fifita. You know, they're all super talented, very young, and I don't know. I've got a feeling that one of these guys will jump into that gun category this year. It's just a matter of who. You know, Pangai, we saw, unfortunately, suffering the hamstring injury last night. Initial diagnosed from a few people, or maybe 2 to 4 weeks, but nothing official as of yet. And then the other two guys, in particular, Dave Fifita, has just had an outstanding preseason. Where are you leaning at the moment with these three just sublimely talented young forwards?
Well, at this stage, I mean, I was obviously pretty devastated to hear the news about Pangai Jr. It's just disappointing for him also, because he spent the off-season working really hard on his hamstrings. And if you see some of the tweets from NRL Physio, he talked about how that's the kind of rehab and conditioning that you need to do to strengthen them. So whether it's a case that it's just an ongoing work in progress, or whether it's just, unfortunately, he's always going to be prone to hamstring injuries, that's a big concern. I think for Supercoach purposes, it probably means he's going to be in a void for the time being, until you see that you can really trust his, trust his hamstrings, really.
Yeah.
To be able to stay on the park. I think, if he is out, and then not playing round one, I think that's a definitely bump up for, Joe. And it also could open the door for a potential start for David Fifita, as you pointed out. Fifita is going to be a gun. If he gets big minutes, if he gets to play 80, he's a dead set, lock him in. It's not even a question. He will just absolutely kill it. Like, not just ball in hand, but he's a hard worker as well.
So just on that. So what cards need to fall in place for him to play that many minutes in the Broncos pack?
I think it's just basically, there's probably two main ways it can happen. One, Seabold thinks he's better to play 80 minutes than, Jaden Sewer and Alex Glenn, and then Matt Gillette could still have the right edge. Two is Matt Gillette's not as healthy, or maybe he's unfortunately done for mental reasons and whatever, because it's such a serious injury, in which case maybe Fifita's just going to end up taking over that right edge, which I think is his preferred edge. So that's probably the two main reasons, which I could see him getting the start and playing enough minutes to be Supercoach relevant.
Yeah, okay.
But if he gets 80, he's dead set. It's basically Angus Crichton.
Oh, I agree.
That's his ceiling. So
I agree. And then we got Joe O, who plays in the middle. You pointed a few things out to me yesterday. When he's playing over 60 minutes last year, his scores were fantastic. So where do we think that he's going to line up this year? Obviously starting, and how many minutes are you expecting him to get through per game?
Yeah, look, I think he's going to start a prop beside Lodge. I can see him being given that role. To me, I don't think it really matters whether he starts the 10 on his back or the 8 or the 13. It's just going to come down to whether he gets the minutes. I can see him playing a minimum of 55 to 60. If he hits 60 to 65, I'm locking him in. He's going to be a low-range keeper, and he's dual position. So obviously that helps out with that front row forward position. But he's just a base stat beast. He gets through a lot of work, and he's also, often finding himself in the right time at the right place, and still can sniff out a try every now and then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to admit, I've currently got both Joe O and Fifita in my side after the Pangai injury, and left with probably about 80K in cash. Just love both those picks, and I don't know if I'll end up going with both, but I think one or two of those guys will really break out this year, and it's just a matter of which one. Okay, last of our sleeper, and we need to book him pretty quickly. You've briefly touched on him, but Matt Gillette, who's coming back from a big injury. Like, he's priced at a 46 point per game average, which is ridiculously cheap compared to what he's done previously. Do we just think that maybe he's not going to be fit enough or have that size to make him relevant from the get-go?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of fitness and his ability to play the big minutes. I think he needs to play 80 for him to be worth it. I mean, his range is averages anywhere from like 50 to 66. I think playing 80 minutes, depending on his attacking stats. So if he's not getting 80 on that right edge, I don't think it's going to be worth jumping on him. And then obviously it's a question mark whether he gets that straight away from round one, given how long he spent out of the game with his injury. So I wouldn't be starting him. I'd just be keeping a close eye on him.
I think that you're right. I couldn't see him possibly playing 80 from the get-go, maybe as he warms up into the season. Okay, so before we get into the cheapies, mate, I'll just get you to quickly rank 1, 2, and 3 out of Pangai, Jo'o, and Fifita for your round one side.
With the injury to TPJ, I've right now got Jo'o in my team, so he would be my one. If Fifita starts, he would be my one as well. So maybe what those two guys want to, and then Pangai is a distant third right now just because of the injury.
Yeah, how things can change. Hey, we got enlisted as one of the first players we put down as an A grader in the Mega Guide, and when we do our update, probably next week, I can see him falling down a couple of spots, unfortunately. Okay, so let's move to the cheapies. Again, we can probably bundle a couple of these guys up, some of the young props coming through, but let's start with Jack Bird. And I know that when you opened the preview, you did kind of briefly speak about their gains and losses, but Jack Bird is effectively a new recruit for them this year.
Yeah, I mean, he played 8 games for them last year in a variety of positions, but this will be him locked into left centre from round one as it stands. So, yeah, obviously he's going to take that spot. I think it's been highlighted for a couple of people that his price is inflated. Based on his average from last year, he's actually priced at a 34.5 point average rather than the 25.8 average he finished 2018 with, which obviously makes it a bit harder to pick him from round one. But he's as far as GPs go, if you believe the Broncos are going to attack well, especially being on the left-hand side beside Milford and having Corey Oates on his outside, he's easily a chance of averaging 50-55. Which will be, a nice 15-20 point per game bump up on what he's priced at from round one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, there aren't too many, or we don't really know what's going to happen with the cheapies in the centre wing. And then as far as the guys above 300K go, it's just a real lottery. So he could definitely be one of the guys he'd be looking to, not currently in my side, but depending on how Teamless Tuesday turns out, he could find his way in. Okay, so Payne Haas, Patrick Carrigan, and Thomas Fledgler. So two of the guys, I think, performed quite well last night, particularly Fledgler. There was a big write-up in the Courier Mail this morning about him. We know all about Payne Haas, who unfortunately is out for, I think, the first month of the season, which drops him down from an A grade in the Mega Guide to probably a C, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. The 4 weeks out is huge because it means that his price won't change for at least 6 weeks, and that assumes he's straight back into the team once he's available to be picked. So I wouldn't be starting with him as much as, it's in a strategy to just lock him in. What if his replacement, Carrigan or Flegler just absolutely brains it and fights their way into a potential starting spot, you're not going to see Haas in there. So I wouldn't be starting with him. I think a C is a fair call as a rating, given what's happened now.
Yeah, and I mean, if the write-up this morning was just Flegler was just amazing, but it also just it did say that Seibold has come out and said that Haas is no guarantee straight back into the side, particularly if those two guys that you've mentioned perform really well across the first month. Haas, might not get back into the first grade team as easily as maybe we thought. So. The only, I guess, bonus of picking him from round one, it's potentially a trade that you're saving. What do you think about that for a strategy?
Yeah, look, it's definitely viable. I just think it's too many weeks where it's just dead space. He's not going to earn you any money. And if there's an injury, it's not like he can come in and help you out. So
yeah.
Given Carrigan is, dual position as well. So if he's the one picked, I'd be shoving him straight in instead of Haas. Flegler's second row only, so that's less than ideal if he's the one who gets the gig. So it's it's not a strategy you can't do. It's just I think it's there's better options. I think you'd be finding ways to maximize the money earning there.
Yeah, I agree. And even with somebody like a Carrigan, he will probably be a pretty popular pick for the round one sides if he does get named. But, he, to me, is a little bit risky that, it could be a really slow burn cow and then come round five, round six, could be out of the Broncos side.
Yeah, it's just a question of, if he, say, averages 30 to 35, I could find himself making, 80 to 100 grand by round six, round seven, which could make him a potential, a perfect downgrade to Haas. If Haas does come straight back in and plays those first few weeks. So it's, I think if Carrigan's picked, you gotta go with him.
Oh, particularly there's just nothing really to pick from the cheapie perspective in the forwards this year. It's slim pickings. Okay, mate, that has been really, really good. Appreciate you coming on. We've ticked over the 15-minute mark, so we'll call it right there. And maybe what I'll do is, I know you've just started up your own podcast, so how about you give that a bit of a shout out before we say goodbye?
Yeah, cheers for that. So, if you haven't heard, myself and Guy Feeney, aka Bear, who obviously won last season, we've started up our own podcast. It's called the NRL Supercoach Champions Podcast. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Podbean or Spotify, and soon hopefully to be on Google Podcasts as well. We've just got the one episode so far, but the idea is we're going to try do something weekly. So fingers crossed that works out for us and we're able to stick with it, because we're pretty actually overwhelmed by the response we've received so far. So hopefully we can put out some good content. We'd like to think we're doing things a little bit differently. We're not talking about, I guess, the same team previews and everything like that, that, obviously like this podcast and other podcasts like this, are putting out. So we're trying a couple of different things to put some different content out there. So, any questions, you can find me on Twitter and clarify.
Yeah, so just maybe for those that aren't following you on Twitter, what's your handle, Matt?
So my handle is CatfishSC.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure that's going to be one of the more popular Supercoach podcasts this year, mate. Particularly, you've got two ex-champions. Or Guy did pull me up the other day and he wants to be known as the reigning champion, so that is fine. But thank you very much, Wilf. It's been great to catch up with you. We've got I think you'll be appearing quite a bit over on the site over the next couple of weeks, a few nice write-ups coming, and it's exciting, and the season's only a couple of weeks away. So cheers, mate, and have a good rest of your Sunday.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, Lennon.
Can confirm he is alive. He hasn't been too active on the sites because he's got a very busy job, a very demanding job, but I am happy to say that I've got the one and only Joe Fitz on the other end of the line. How are you, Joe?
Mate, it's just as much about the demanding wife and the demanding child as it is about the demanding job, but once you mix all three on, recreation time's a little bit limited lately, mate. I'm well otherwise.
That is excellent. And well, I think you're travelling a little bit better than your beloved Bulldogs.
Yeah, well, that's not a particular stretch to say, mate. Look, let's just say when I was going through the mega guide earlier today in preparation for our chat, I was surprised that we actually finished 12th at 16 last year, and I'm not sure that we're going to hit those dizzy heights in 2019.
Yeah, it's you're definitely in the middle of a rebuild, as you would say. Unfortunately, you don't have any draft picks to get, but it's going to be a slow grind, I think, for the Bulldogs. And already Pay's starting to make some interesting decisions in the trial games, and maybe we can just start there and talk us through what's been happening this off season.
Yeah, look, lots of gains, lots of losses as the the Bulldogs management tries to cycle through some of those bad Des Hasler back-ended contracts. We've got the likes of Greg Eastwood, Billy Fine, David Clemmer, obviously Moses and by left mid-season, as did Woods. The Morris twins have gone. Clay Priest, the much-lauded Canberra recruit who didn't do much, has been released. And Zach Wolford, who was a young gun in waiting, has gone up the coast to Newcastle. So bit of turnover there and what's coming back. It's interesting. There's some dice rolls there. Jack Cogger down from the Knights. It's Christian Crichton's likely to get a wing spot from the Panthers. CHN, who was everyone's favourite rookie a couple of years back, and Nick Meaney from the Knights, Dylan Napa would be the big recruits, and Suaso Sue, who was maybe about 5 years ago, mate, was a bit of a favourite rookie cheapie of mine, which is about the last time he was Supercoach relevant.
And how about the start of the year? Is it a favourable draw, or is it a rough, maybe 2 months leading into the first bye?
Oh, mate, it's awful. I think looking at when we did the season previews, there were the, bit of an analysis for the first 5 weeks. And I think Parramatta was about the only favourable game. Not only a chance to be 1-4 in the start, but I'm pretty sure it's Melbourne away in round 6, which is going to be very, very, very difficult. So, God help us if we lose. The rivalry with the Eels, because it could be an 0-6 start, and then it could be on for love nor money whether Pay survives that or which players survive that cull. But it's one of the most brutal starts to the season for any team, unfortunately.
And the big question is, mate, do the Bulldogs win a game this year?
Yeah, look, they will win a game. I think that.
Ooh, they're fighting words. They're fighting words, mate.
Yeah, win a game. Look, I think, there's a chance we'll finish over, some of the also-rans as well. We won't make the 8, but, I'm pretty confident JT's been, talking up the Cowboys' chances, but I think they're absolute, they'll be shocking this year. So I think I'll tip the Dogs to finish ahead of the Cowboys.
Wow, that's a huge call. Huge call.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it really?
I can definitely see the Cowboys being one of the improvers, making a push for the 8, and to come out and say the Bulldogs are going to be better than the Cowboys, mate. I don't know what you've been watching over the last preseason or the recruits and stuff, but we're very far apart in our thinking of what's going to happen this year.
Very interesting, mate. But look, as it applies to the Bulldogs, I don't think we're a chance for the 8. But I also think we're the kind of team that will stay close enough that if, the opposition makes a couple of mistakes in the last 20 minutes that, they could pounce. So I don't think the Bulldogs will thrash anyone, but I don't think they'll be thrashed, too much on the other hand. So, yeah, it'd be somewhere 12th to 14th, I think, for this year, unfortunately.
So I'm sensing a stake bet here, mate.
Yeah, I'll go in with JT for a stake.
Stuff JT. So. I want some of this, mate.
Well, it might be 2 steaks on the line. Yep, let's go. Good. Cowboys, mate.
Well,
I say the Bulldogs finish ahead of the Cowboys in season 2019.
Okay, I'll easily take that and happily. I think I'm lined up for a few stakes. We've already had Trbojevic is out for the first 6 weeks. Reported today, and I think that I've got a little. There are some technicalities with that stake bet as well that I need to work through with both Daniel and Wilfred, but we'll see what happens. All right, mate, we've got 10 minutes to smash through the Guns, Sleepers, Bus, and Cheapies at the Bulldogs. And I was just chatting with Wilfred about the Broncos, and there was kind of few Guns that really came to mind, and we said Milford, and that was bit. And there's quite a few Sleepers at the club, and I guess much the same with the Bulldogs, would you agree? And they might not even have one gun at the club at the moment.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry. Just if you're looking at trial form or trial selection as any kind of indicator, Reece Martin, might struggle to even make the 17, which, if you read my Bulldogs preview on the site a couple of weeks ago, I think he's probably the second best player at the club behind Josh Jackson. Absolute, yeah, that's a shock. But, we had on the left side Josh Jackson moved over there, and we had Fatale Mariner starting on the right, and then it was Martin and CHN kind of cycling through the edges with Adam Elliott in the middle. So, yeah, if not Reece Martin, I'm struggling to see where you get that kind of 60-plus gun on the roster, unfortunately.
It's amazing, hey. So why? What's happening there? Because he played so well, and I'm obviously not as close to the Bulldogs as what you are, but you know, the eye test and just what we saw late last year, it really looked like they'd uncovered a very good footballer. And you know, how could he have fallen so far? Is there something that's happened off the field? Like, what's going on?
Well, not that's kind of come through on the Bulldogs forums and stuff like that. I mean, he is an older rookie, so you know, while he's clearly talented, there might be an attitude problem there. But that's usually something that kind of gets out. You know, Pay hasn't clearly taken much of a liking to him, even though he single-handedly won some matches towards the back end of the year and obviously broke the NRL goal-kicking percentage record at a shade under 95%. So it's baffling to me, frankly. You know, while the Bulldogs' edge, you know, second-row edge is probably the strength of the team, I can't see it. You know, we'll probably likely have a bunch of the kind of around 55-point per game Supercoach players, but nothing that's going to escalate into 60. And if it's not Reece Martin, it's certainly not looking like it now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting and perplexing a little bit too. Okay, moving on to the sleepers, and a guy that I am quite interested in, particularly with TPJ going down last night, is Aiden Tolman. So, you know, he's a former Supercoach Warrior, plays lots of minutes as prop, and, you know, particularly if Napa is suspended and we don't really know what's happening there, then Tolman, you know, could get back to his 65-minute-plus games.
Yeah, look, I would be very unpleasantly surprised if, you know, someone who's a victim of revenge porn was suspended. I think it's a massive double standard, and if it happened to a female, there'd never be any suggestion of a suspension. So let's hope not. But look, even if Napa does play, I think his last two seasons averaged 42 and 47 minutes a game. Tolman has played in the low 60s before. And when you look behind, you know, the front row stocks for the, if you think Adam Elliott's a 60-minute player at lock, well, then the people on the bench, you're really looking at Danny Fualalo, who's a low minutes impact middle off the bench. And Jesse Sue, who I think is pretty much the average kind of NRL player. So, yeah, there's not much impact there, and there's certainly no history of big minutes that could possibly take it from Tolman. So he's the senior guy in the middle, and, you know, price at 471, I think he's probably 8 to 10 points per game under price. So perfect kind of second or third front row player from round one in Supercoach, with a view to kind of upgrading him to a gun once he's gained kind of 80 to 100K.
Yeah, and I think even if you have a look at last year, so from round 15 through to 25, he started every game in the front row and averaged 57 points per game, playing just a bit over 60 minutes. So that's kind of what I'm expecting that he's going to produce, between the 55 to 60 potentially. And as you said, it's a nice stepping stone. But, you know, every year those trades are very hard to come by, particularly towards the end of the year. So can you... You know, what are your thoughts on that? Is it worth going with Tolman as a stepping stone, or are you better off just trying to go the gun rookie approach and try to save trades towards the end?
Yeah, I think it's really going to depend what kind of front row rookies there are. It just doesn't seem like there's much there at the moment. There's always the round one shock, but then that comes with its own risks as to their longevity. I think front row is looking like, anyway, one of those years where you probably have to spend a bit more money just because there isn't viable, you know, viable rookies there. And I think with TPJ, who was locked into my front row and many people's front row, looking like he's too much of a risk. I think Tolman is, you know, for what, 24K cheaper. It doesn't get much more reliable than him. And if he's a slow burner, fine. But, you know, considering that we're not going to have 17 guns, you know, until the final third of the year when we kind of have our final teams, I think, you know, if he's going to average 55 to 60, that's a perfect blow for the back end of your 17 each week.
Yeah, and particularly if you can use that cash, say, to afford a Damien Cook or, you know, a double-pronged gun halves combination or something. I think it's definitely a worthy strategy, and there's limited risk associated with it, I think. Let's move on to CHN before we touch on Kerrett Holland, just staying in the forwards. I mean, you have spoken about what's going to happen with that forward rotation. So last year, I think he averaged 53 minutes per game. Is there really likely increase there, or do you think he's going to hit it around about the same as what he did last year at the Panthers?
I'd be surprised if he gets kind of, you know, look, assuming Reece Martin is out of the 17, and certainly the rumour is that he will be, Josh Jackson and Fatala Marin are big minute players, yep, on the edges. So, you know, CHN may have to rotate through the middle for 20 minutes, 25 minutes a game. So I'd actually be shocked if, while he's certainly talented, don't get me wrong, the minutes don't seem to be there if Pay sticks to his guns on form. But with that Bulldog start, with so many away games against kind of highly rated teams, the lineup is kind of going to be in flux. So CHN's got talent, but I certainly wouldn't start with him from round one.
Okay, let's move on to Kerrett Holland then. So that's very interesting if Martin does a start, because that would probably mean that Holland will kick goals. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was for the trial against the Raiders. And look, I'm on record as not being a huge Holland fan, and most of that is from 2017 when he broke into the side and frankly was pretty pants when he played fullback. When he played centre, he was really just his goal kicking that kind of kept him in the side. But he did kick on towards the end of last year, and certainly he crossed for a double in a trial. He's playing outside Josh Jackson on the left-hand side there. So, yeah, it's not too bad a punt. He obviously kicked on. I think he averaged 81 from rounds 19 on last year, which is why he starts as expensive as he does at 428, yeah, because he had those bench minutes earlier on. I think it's a viable, if you do want to gamble in your CTW for a mid-pricer, he's certainly a pretty good option. That being said, you know, at the moment, I think I could nearly fill all kind of seven slots with rookie players at the moment if I wanted to. So the value is going to be more in the kind of rookie price players, don't you think?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, and thankfully there are a lot of rookies opening up in that center wing, and you know, we have found over the past few years that there's so many question marks with the center wing, and very rarely do you get those top guys coming through with repeat years. So I do agree, he's probably a little bit too expensive for me, but the upside is there. And as you did point out, I think from week 15, he averaged 72 points per game from the rest of the season with a couple of scores over 100. So went massive there. All right, cheapies. And a guy that's you touched on very briefly before, and his name's been all around the headlines for all the wrong reasons in the preseason, Dylan Upper, you're meant to be your big name recruit, and things have been happening. But from a super coach perspective, if he does not get suspended, which I agree, I don't think he should, then he comes in very, very cheaply priced at 280-odd K for a starting prop forward.
Yep, definitely in my side for a lot of reasons, and part of that's the front row stocks around him from a supercoach perspective is pretty weak across the competition, but also, you know, the middle forwards at Canterbury, as I mentioned before when we were talking about Tolman, not a lot of big minute guys, and certainly not a lot of seniority there either. So, you know, while he's 42 to 40 and 47 minutes the last few years, he was kind of early 50s the year before that, which was, yep, his first full year in first grade, I think. So he can play those minutes. He certainly started well in the trial, played about 30 minutes before he got a rest and with several impact runs. So we know he can do it. He's an origin-level player when he's motivated. Got kind of squeezed out of the Chooks last year, but I think for what we got him for, he's good value both in real life and at 288K for Supercoach. I think there's a fair bit of growth in there.
Yeah, and I mean, if he only averages 45 points per game, he's going to increase in price by 140K. So that alone is fantastic, considering there's really not that many cheapies in the front row, which you rightfully pointed out at the start. And having a look at his previous stats, so in 2015, 2016, he had average scores of 48 and 52, and it really just dropped off from there. So, you know, he did play big minutes in those years at 51 and 57. So he does have the ability, and, you know, coming to a you know, a much weaker side, a much weaker pack from the Roosters to the Bulldogs, you'd expect that, you know, he could potentially be the big dog, the main guy at the Bulldogs this year.
Yeah, certainly from an impact perspective, you know, Dean Pay will be looking for him to kind of set the tone. I think Tolman's that steady as you go it kind of guy, but it'll be Napper hopefully that takes the kind of second and third hit ups that can really kind of gain the ground once the platform's been established.
And as being the pun king that you are, Joe, I can't believe we've got through this segment without one any reference to Big Puppy at all, but we somehow did it.
Yeah, mate. I led with that in my preview, so I thought I didn't want to go too crazy. But yeah, Big Puppy. My God, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. What do you do, man? It's just, the dysfunction both in the playing group and then just. Oh, look, it's sad. Being a Bulldog supporter at the moment, sad. It, for so many years being, if not the best run club, then certainly one of the very best run clubs. So much board upheaval in recent years and we've got a CEO that's in there because, you know, for name recognition only, unfortunately, and we're seeing that in the way the club's run, mate. So, yeah, Bulldogs off the field, a little bit of a joke at the moment and not that great product on the field.
Yes, and they'll be a lot less better than the Cowboys this year too. Let's move on to Nick Meaney. He's our final cheapie that we're going to talk about. He's touted as being the starting fullback. However, Will Hopewade did start there last year and from all reports played very, very well.
Yeah, he did play well in the trial. Watched very, very keenly. I don't think Marcel Montoya played particularly well at right centre, who was, you know, that's really the decision that Dean Payne needs to make is that, you know, Hopewade will be there somewhere, whether he favours Montoya at right centre or Meaney at fullback is probably going to depend on, you know, personal preference and how Montoya starts. I get the feeling Montoya's going to get first crack at it, but if the Bulldogs, you know, do kind of go down in the first two or three games, then I'm pretty sure Payne will look to blood the youngsters like he did last year.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, if he does get that starting role, then at the price he's going to be pretty tempting, particularly with Trbojevic going down last night. There's going to be, you know, the likes of Meaney, Drinkwater and a couple of the those other guys that are hovering around that price are going to be, you know, becoming more relevant than possibly they were.
Yeah, look, I think there's going to be people that really go overboard. Like we could see more rookie price and young price, cheap players in round one teams than we've ever had, particularly it's at centre wing and a backup fullback spot. If the people who were, you know, had penciled in a Teddy Turbo combo at fullback, obviously Turbo's not going to be there. So there's an extra slot and you're literally saving 400 grand by going from Turbo to Nick Meaney and certainly considering the second row so stacked this year, you can go bananas with the money that way.
Yeah, definitely. All right, mate. Well, I think we've covered off on the Bulldogs unless there's anything else that you wanted to add.
No, mate, I think that, you know, unfortunately not too much in the way of Supercoach relevance this year. It is pretty sad that Reece Martin, looking like he's not going to get the chance to back it up. I think what I'll be hoping is that, you know, he makes it into the 17 and gets a run of low minute games. And then if the Bulldogs do kind of start off on a bit of a losing streak and then he gets get it into a starting edge position for, you know, 100K or 200K cheaper than what he was, I think, you know, he'll definitely – I predict at some point Reece Martin will be the number one trade-in target at some point in the season for
some
coaches during 1 week. So that's probably the hope from that perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a very good call. He probably dropped a fair bit in price over the opening, maybe first half of the year. Okay, well, thanks, Joe. That's been really good. I know we got you coming back up on the site, Ten Commandments, the you know, stalwart of the website, one of the more popular posts of the year, will be hitting, I think, in about 2 weeks almost to the very day. So really, really looking forward to that. It's always a highlight of the year. And that's about it. Well, we've got for tonight, guys. So we've worked through a couple of teams, spoken about the trials very briefly, and then we'll be back into it with another podcast probably middle of the week as we look to wind down our club previews. But until then, thank you for downloading. And Joe, thank you very much for coming back on board.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. See you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.